Praise the Lord. A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 24 to 28. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall follow my ordinances and be careful to observe my statutes. They shall live in the land that I give to my servant Jacob, in which your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children shall live there forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I'll bless them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary among them forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations shall know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary is among them forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, today we are trying to study one important prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, a prophecy related to a qualification, to a characteristic of the Messiah King as the shepherd. Ezekiel spoke about a king who will be at the same time a shepherd. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, a shepherd king. Israel was very familiar with the shepherds. Their ancestors were shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their liberator, leader, Moses, was a shepherd. And their ideal king himself, David, was a shepherd. In this context, they spoke about God as a shepherd. And the relation between the shepherd and the sheep is beautifully expressed through many a psalm and prophecies. Psalm 23 is the best known among all these psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. God the shepherd. God the shepherd who guides, who leads, who protects, who feeds, who defends. God always ahead. God searching for the green pastures. God protecting the sheep. So this is what the prophets also saw about God. God as the shepherd. What God does is, he very well described in this psalm. He leads me beside still waters, stilling one's thirst. And this somehow points also to the future. When Jesus spoke about the waters that gush into eternal life, the waters that symbolize the living spirit, God as the good shepherd, God as the true shepherd, the Lord, the shepherd, leading to still waters and restoring the drooping soul, giving fresh hope, enthusiasm, joy, leads me in the right paths. That's what the shepherd does. Shows the way, goes ahead, so that the sheep will have pasture, will have food, will have shelter and protection. Even though I walk through the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One has to fear nothing when God is the shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is what the good shepherd does. So God is the shepherd and he leads the people. Now God has entrusted this duty of the shepherd to the elected, chosen leaders. In Israel, there were many shepherds. Israel as a flock, the people considered as a flock, considered their leaders as their shepherds. The kings were the shepherds. The priests were the shepherds. And also the prophets, the shepherds. Shepherds were to feed the flock. As God guided and fed the flock, Israel, so the shepherds of Israel were supposed to feed. But instead of feeding the flock, they were feeding themselves. And here comes the severe critique against the shepherds of Israel, against the unfaithful shepherds. For example, in Isaiah 56:10, we read, Israel's sentinels are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs that cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. The shepherds also have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, to their own gain, one and all. Selfish shepherds who take care of themselves. In Jeremiah 12:10, we read, My shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down my portion. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. So these are criticisms leveled against the leaders of Israel. But then we come to Ezekiel, the prophet of the exile, who experienced the disasters that befell the people of Israel because mainly of the fault of the leaders. And now he has very severe criticism against the leaders of Israel. In chapter 34, Ezekiel speaks about the shepherds. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Thus says the Lord God, Are you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the least. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search or to seek for them. So this is a severe critique against the leaders, the false shepherds. Therefore, God pronounces judgment against the shepherds. And then he continues that God himself, he himself will be a shepherd for the people. In 34 verses 11 and following, For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. God bringing back the scattered sheep. Israel in exile was considered as a scattered sheep. And now through the prophet, God is promising that he will come as a shepherd and he'll bring them back. And again in 15 and 16 verses, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I'll make them lie down, says the Lord. I'll seek the lost, and I'll bring back the strayed, and I'll bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. So this is what God would do. The God, the good shepherd, he will bring back, he will search for the lost, and he will gather all the strayed and bring them together. So this is the first part of the prophecy. God himself will be the shepherd. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, the Isaiah, the prophet of the exile, second Isaiah, we read, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Careful, loving, tender, kind shepherd, bringing the flock together. So God himself will be the shepherd. Now the prophecy goes further to say that God will send a shepherd. That we have already seen in Jeremiah 3:15. We have read this in another reflection. Jeremiah 3:15. I'll give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Shepherds according to God's own heart. Shepherds who feel like God for the sheep, who care, who love for the sheep. In Ezekiel 37:24, we read, my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall follow my ordinances and be careful to observe my statutes. The king will come as a shepherd, as one shepherd. There's also another reference to a shepherd who will be rejected. God sent the shepherd to feed the flock, but the flock did not accept the shepherd. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7, we read, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my associate, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered. I'll turn my hand against the little ones. A rejected shepherd. So this is what we have in the Old Testament. God himself will be the shepherd. God will send the king as a shepherd, and this shepherd may be rejected. All these point to the new shepherd, and that we see in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself presented himself as the shepherd promised by the prophets, and we see it in John chapter 10. The first part of the chapter presents Jesus as the shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 1 following. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. A very familiar story he is telling, something that everybody sees every day, the relation between the sheep and the shepherd. And they did not know what Jesus was intending to say by this story of the sheep and the shepherd. Even though they were familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, descriptions, prayers, like Psalms and promises, they did not understand what Jesus was telling. That Jesus was speaking about the false prophets or false shepherds, the leaders who were not feeding the sheep. And so he went on. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them." The unfaithful leadership of Israel, now compared to the false shepherds. As the criticism leveled against Israel by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Jesus follows the same steps, the same vein. All who came before me. Doesn't mean exactly all the people, all the leaders were unfaithful. Abraham, Moses, or prophets. But the leaders who counted, the leaders who led the people astray, that is Jesus, or what Jesus is speaking about. Now, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The gate that leads to the sheepfold, where there is protection, where there is care. Jesus is the gate to life. The gate that leads to the Father's heart. I am the gate. To enter through me means following Jesus, listening to his voice, and obeying his command. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is the purpose of the coming. Now he goes on to tell, applying the parable to himself. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is qualifying himself as the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who fulfills all the prophecies. Now, what does this good shepherd do? Jesus, his life, his mission, his ministry, his work, all can be understood in terms of a shepherd. He searches the lost, as in the case of Ezekiel's shepherd. The promise God has given, he will search for the lost. The entire life of Jesus is presented as a search for the lost. He spoke the parable of the lost sheep. A shepherd who at the end of the day counts his sheep and finds that one is missing. He leaves the 99 in the field and goes after that one lost. The shepherd going in search of the lost sheep. That was Jesus' mission. Whenever he went in search of the sick, the sinner, the marginalized, people who were considered as sinners, like the tax collectors, or the Gentiles, the Samaritans, people who were considered as non-people, who were considered as cursed by God, they were the favorites of Jesus. He went in search of them. To the widows, to the lepers, to all those who thought they were lost, the paralytic who was at the pool of Bethsaida, 38 years, carrying his own burden of sin, complaining that he was all alone, nobody to help him. Or the one paralyzed who was carried by friends. So Jesus comes out, goes out in search. Search of the sick, search of the sinners. The good shepherd who goes out. He searches out. He binds up the wounded. Not only the wounds of the body, He heals the wounds of a heart. A woman was caught in adultery, and she was brought to Jesus for Him to pronounce the judgment. And we know how Jesus pronounces the judgment. First, He doesn't give any answer, pretending as if He doesn't hear, just writing in the dust. Then they insist, and finally He looks up and makes the verdict. Let the one among you who has no sin cast the first stone. No one has a right to judge the other. Let the one who has no sin throw the first stone, Jesus said. And He bent down and kept on writing. Everybody left, and the woman was left alone. And then Jesus asked her, "Where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" "No one, Master," she said. "Neither do I condemn you. Go in peace and sin no more." So He is binding up the wounded, the shepherd who knows the sheep, the shepherd who knows the need of the sheep, the shepherd who goes in search of the sheep, binds the wounded, heals the sick. He feeds the hungry. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He gives me rest in green meadows." That's what Jesus was giving. He gives food. He gives food for the body and gives food for the soul. He teaches them the word of God. God's will is manifested to the people. And people gathered in thousands and thousands around Him. And what He gave them was food. And finally, He feels compassion. "If I send this crowd out, they will faint on the way. Some of them have come from a long way. So you give them something to eat." Jesus' compassion goes out to the needy, feeds them, teaches them the word, feeds them with the word of God, and gives them food when needed. Of course, He did not perform a miracle to feed Himself. He was tempted in the desert at the beginning of His ministry. The tempter came and said, "Ask these stones to turn into bread if you are the Son of God." The Son of God has the power to turn stones into bread and still His own hunger and still the hunger of the world. But He did not do that. That was not the way the shepherd was to feed the flock. It was not by turning stones into bread. "Which father among you will give your son a stone when he asks for bread?" Jesus asked. No, He's not going to turn stones into bread. He is going to change the hearts of stone into bread. He is going to turn Himself into bread. He feeds the hungry, not only with the word of God, not only with the multiplied bread, but He feeds the hungry with His own body. "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you." Jesus, the Good Shepherd, feeds the hungry. Feeds the hungry with His own body and blood. That's what He does even today. In every Eucharistic celebration, He is giving us Himself as food and drink. He binds up the wounded, all those who were wounded in body and soul, all those who were marginalized from the society, all those who were bearing the stigma of exclusion, of impurity. He healed them. So He searches, He heals, He feeds, and He gathers them all. The Good Shepherd gathers the scattered people. That's what Ezekiel had promised, and that's what Jesus is doing. In John chapter 12, 32, we read, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself," gathering all the scattered humanity. Jesus, the good shepherd, going in search for the lost and bringing them all together into the house of the Father. He gathers, he brings them all together. And now this he does by giving his own life. John, we continue to read, John 10, 11 following. I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus is unifying the entire humanity through his death and resurrection. So the good shepherd lays down his life. So he came to lay down his life, and through his life, through his death and resurrection, to bring new life to us all. And this good news of the birth of the good shepherd was first announced to the shepherds who are keeping watch over the sheep in the fields of Bethlehem. It was the shepherds who had the fortune, the blessing to receive the good news for the first time. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following, we read, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. So this is the good news announced first to the shepherds, that a great shepherd has come to feed the flock. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, our Lord and Shepherd, thank you for being our Shepherd. When you are our Shepherd, we lack nothing. In you we trust. In you we have confidence. In you we have protection and life. We thank you for sending your Son as the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life that we may have life in abundance. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as a shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for leading us to the Father. You being the door, you being our food, you being our guide, you being our shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.